You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Mark, ahead of our conversation about bullying, we've got a WhatsApp that says, good afternoon. Bullies are weaklings. We must stop calling them bullies, but weaklings who bully people. They have a low sense of self. So to feel good about themselves, they bully others. Shame on them. That's what one person said, a WhatsApp that's come in. On this very disturbing story that really talks about bullying in our schools as well, there's a video that has gone viral, and it shows an altercation between two grade 10 Limpopo learners. And it has been alleged that the victim in this particular case, in this assault video, has since passed away, that it's believed that she committed suicide. The police have opened an inquest docket and are investigating the matter. The accounts that have been reported on the Sowetan, for instance, is that she returned from school and actually noted or mentioned that there had been a fight at school, and she went into her room, and it was only later when a mother checked on her that she found her unconscious. So the hashtag Justice for Lufuno has been trending after this video went viral, and it is one of those that you do not want to see. You feel that you can spare yourself, that you really are safeguarding your own mental health by not watching it. And there are lots of these. It's like yet another video that demonstrates the violence that is visited upon many children in South African schools. I mean, the hate and the anger with which the girl who's assaulting Lufuno acts is just unbelievable. The ferocity of it is unbelievable, coming from a 15-year-old. So it's very triggering, absolutely triggering. If you have a child who's been bullied, if you have been bullied, this is the sort of thing that really will bring up all sorts of past emotions. And you wonder why and how one can deal with this when it comes to bullies in our environment. MJ has also WhatsApp saying, bullying starts from home. Parents must teach their kids to respect everyone. And so it is violent, and it's just unbelievably sickening. Another WhatsApp says, I'm very confused as to why it's being portrayed as a case of bullying. I've watched the video and it's sickening. What you're looking at isn't bullying. It's plain and simple assault. And so that's the perspective of one of our listeners this afternoon. Absolutely. So we are speaking to Claudine Ribeiro, director of the Johannesburg Parent and Child Counseling Center. You know, now I'm thinking about this question of assault, because bullying is a type of assault on your mental well-being. If it's not physical, there's also the mental to be concerned about. It is an absolute assault on your senses and your sense of self. And in this case as well, there is the physical assault that has been acted out on Lufuno. Claudine, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Zania.
A highly disturbing video, yet another one that has emerged when you think of young children being capable of such horror, yet again in our society. Bullying hurts. It absolutely hurts. And often we never stay long enough with the mental health effects that it can have on an individual. What are those?
So I think you've raised so many issues in your introduction, and we could spend an hour talking about so many of them. But I think the one that resonated for me is, you know, what do we call this, and when do we call it bullying, and when does it become assault? And I think the issue is that any kind of behavior that makes another person feel like they're not good enough, that they don't measure up, and that damages their self-esteem and their sense of self-worth, can be construed as bullying behavior. And whether that's a very minor event, mm-hmm. or whether it's an extreme event like this, as your listener said, could be construed as assault, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that we're treating someone else with a great level of disrespect. And so I think we have to knock it on the head and call it for what it is, and try and look at eradicating these kinds of very, very strong forms of acting out behavior of kids against each other. Mm. When it comes to mental health, I think just knowing that this has resulted in a child's suicide is devastating. And I think we are seeing more and more kids that are presenting with issues of anxiety and depression and with suicidal feelings and wanting to end it all. And that does make us question what is going on and why are so many kids contemplating suicide as an option and how can things be so bad?
Mm.
And I think we have to know that some of them may have an inward depression that they're dealing with. But it does also point to the fact that the bullying must be ongoing. It must be fairly strong bullying, and it possibly could have also spread to some kind of social media that makes the child feel as if they can't cope at all, that there's no hope, that this is out there in the social domain and they've got no way of kind of engaging with it. It's just this mass of people that they feel are against them and makes them feel as if there is no hope, that there is no way out.
Yes.
And
so
that's the core issue.
Yeah, and, you know, initially it's encouraged that one deals with the bully, you know, that, okay, so how do you deal with the bully? What to do? Often the advice is that let them work it out themselves, that it's incredibly empowering, right? But there's obviously a line at which that's not going to suffice. That's simply not going to be enough where it's gone so far.
Yes. So I think definitely we have to approach these issues of bullying and violence in our schools on a multi-pronged level, that we can't just take one approach and hope that it's going to be a one-fits-all situation. So the schools that just tackle it with a disciplinary process, yes, that does need to be in place, but we have to add other layers of support to the process to make it a bully-free zone and to make our schools a safe place.
But does that work? Because we hear about that all the time, to say that the school has a no bullying policy. You know, it is said, but does it work? Is suspension even enough of an adequate punishment? That's why I say that sometimes I wonder if our solutions work practically.
So that's why I'm saying that I think we can't just look at one level. So we do have to have a disciplinary process. And we would encourage schools to use a disciplinary process that involves some kind of growth and rehabilitation of the so-called bully or perpetrator or offender, whatever name you want to give them, and similar to a diversion program where we expose them to understanding how it feels or what the experience might be of being bullied, and that takes quite a lot of support for the school itself, and not all our schools have the resources to put that in place. But we would highly recommend that the disciplinary process is not just pure punishment, but that there is some kind of diversion, and in addition to that, we have to have the therapeutic support in our schools. And whilst we as an organization spend a lot of time trying to offer counseling in schools so that we can at least provide services to kids, the need is so great. You know, we're in 40, 50 schools around Johannesburg, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. We need to have therapy available in schools as a second level of support. So that kids have a place to go where they can actually trust the wellness person or the psychologist or the counselor, and where they can feel and trust that something's going to be done, and that will give them hope. Because remember, we said earlier, it's a place of feeling like there isn't any hope, that there's nothing that they can do.
Yes, because often the fear is that if I say anything, it will increase the bullying, that it will make me even more of a target.
Yes. And schools have to become a safe place for calling people out. Just like I, in my job as a social worker, have to make difficult decisions where there's abuse in homes, for example. We have to make those difficult decisions, and we need to encourage our learners to step up and also speak out about what's happening, but we can only expect that of them if there is a safe place for this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's a process that we can enter them into where we feel that there is going to be some kind of action and action taken. And many of our schools have done this very successfully. So I don't think that it's a completely hopeless situation.
Right.
Many of our schools are very reactive. They deal with these issues sensitively, and we can really learn something from them.
Mm.
The reality is that many of our schools aren't safe places. And,
yeah.
and some of the bullying, I hate to say it, is coming from the teachers themselves. There's bullying in the classroom. There's bullying behavior from the actual the teacher body themselves.
Mm.
And so we're dealing with a very systemic problem of bullying. We can go back to our communities. There's a lot of violence in our communities, and problems are dealt with. Problems of conflict are dealt with violence.
Yes, Claudine, let's,
problem solving.
Yeah, let's take a break, and we're going to come back to the lines, to our voice notes, to your calls. As Claudine says, you know, bullying happening in the classroom, bullying happening in our conflict resolution, means of resolving conflict to end up being violence. You know, we laud or we praise people who can fight. You can even hear in this video that everybody else is cheering on, because it's like, if you can fight, if you win a fight, you're the cool one. So violence as a means of resolving conflicts is clearly encouraged and cheered on. And we know that culture. This is the time when we were in school ourselves, that if you could fight, you were the hero, you were put on a pedestal. And that kind of gave those kids license to do whatever they wanted to other kids that they deemed to be weaker than them. So I'll take your calls on how we solve this, because it is just simply upsetting to think that someone has to endure this kind of violence on a daily basis, to the point where their lives are so miserable that they cannot cope. 011-883-0702.
Spend your afternoon with Azania Mosaka on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Coming to your voice notes at 2:09, we're with the director of the Johannesburg Parent and Child Counseling Center, Claudine Ribeiro. And some of you curious about the diversion program, we'll get into those details. But first, let's go to Sipho Senkosi in Randburg. Sipho Senkosi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Azania. Great show as always.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to say the issue of social media can't be downplayed. Because I can assure you this bullying incident could have happened and could have ended in nothing so drastic. But the fact that videos go viral, that can drive somebody to a place that they would never have gone if that video wasn't there.
Mm.
So there are people who take these videos, who cheer, and actually, instead of stopping the abuse that is happening, people take time to take videos. You've seen all sorts of bad videos. Why are people filming instead of intervening to stop such a situation? So I think social media, it has started wars in countries. It has really fueled some dysfunctional behavior, really.
Yeah.
And that needs to be challenged. There needs to be a solution to that stage of social media.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Sipho Senkosi. We'll get Claudine's view in a moment. And I know all too well about the impact of social media, the cyberbullying or bullying that happens online via social media. Carl in Pretoria North, you have a view on the laws. Good afternoon, Carl.
Yeah. Good afternoon. In my opinion, I spent some time in the USA, and I know for a fact that if this thing happened there, that girl who did the bullying would have been charged with involuntary manslaughter, because if they can attribute the suicide of the other girl directly to the bullying, obviously the bully would have had to be held to account for this. But then in South Africa, the laws are totally different. That is why in many occasions people get away with anything in South Africa.
All right, so you think the laws are inadequate? Yeah.
And even parents too easily dodge their responsibility as parents. And they will tell you a lot of stories if you bring it to their attention that one of the kids is misbehaving or doing something, they would simply shrug it off as just kids misbehaving.
Yes, actually, I wanted to go there as well, Carl, about parents of the bully, signs that your child is the bully, because we focus so much on the victim of the bullying. Here are your voice notes.
Hi, it's Liz. I would just say on this bullying incident that happened, that is so extremely sad. The bully and the bully's parents should be prosecuted. This behavior is not learned overnight. You don't get up and today you're a bully. These parents are also responsible because their children have been taught this is okay. And the same goes for racism.
Hello, I'd like to remain anonymous. I just wanted to ask about bullies. I've had to do with a boy that was put out of his school because he was a bully. But why do kids become bullies? Because I think in certain cases they see their parents trying to solve their problems by being aggressive and using bullying maybe towards the kids. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. You know, that first WhatsApp, sometimes I also get so angry that I think enough, we're dealing with this with kid gloves. We need to act in a much more firmer way. Drag the parents into it. They need to be culpable for their children's behavior as well and have some firmer consequences, not just on the child alone, but on the parents. That's how hurtful you tend to get about incidents such as this. But is that the right response? But it is the emotional response sometimes, and our emotions sometimes need some kind of validation when you're in that rage. Claudine, the last question fused with what I was asking after Carl's call. What is happening in the life of the bully, from whether their relationship with parents, from home? How does a child develop into a bully?
Yes, with all those calls and messages, I'm just hearing so much anger. And I'm wondering if the bully isn't the angry person as well, and that they take out their frustration and their very high levels of stress themselves onto someone who's perceived as being different or being weaker or being more diverse than what they are. And that could be, I think there are many answers to who is the bully, but very often the bully is doing this as a survival technique. They are learning it at home or in their community. They are experiencing bullying themselves, or they have absently experienced this culture of bullying in the school, and they see that they will be building up their own self-esteem and their sense of self-worth, and others will see them in a good light if they become the bully. And I think it's a very dark place to be. And with our rising levels of suicide, attempted suicide, and just suicidal feelings in general in our society of our adolescents and young children too, we really, really have to deal with this and hit this head on. We can't allow this to fester, and we can't lose any more children.
Yeah, absolutely. One WhatsApp says, how many of us, the parents, sit down and lecture our kids on bullying? It can end there. Just warn your kid that if you ever find out that they're bullying other kids, die poppe sal dans. Claudine, thank you so much. Let me just give James a few seconds to make his point. James, hello.
Hi, Azania, thank you very much. I think that the social media coverage plays a vital role. But the thing that worries me the most is the fact that there are an whole audience. Now, that the entire audience standing there, not one is willing to say, hey, hang on, we can't do this. You can't do that. Not one. They're all cheering. That means that the whole audience is infected with this disease. Everybody there.
Yeah.
There was only one hitting. But anyone else seemed to have been willing to have done it too.
To cheer as well.
That's what worries me.
Yes. James, thank you so, so much. And I think it raises an opportunity for us to talk about these crowd dynamics and so on. And I want to thank my guest, Claudine Ribeiro, director of the Johannesburg Parent and Child Counseling Center. And they are in certain schools. Their programs are in certain schools. But as she kept emphasizing, many schools are under-resourced, and this is a luxury that they do not have, to have these interventions and support structures whenever incidents arise. And that's where you and I and the government come in.